Okay, so I'm Ian H. from Biomed Central. My role at Biomed Central is I'm a publisher. I look after a bunch of journals and some non-journal products and spend a lot of time thinking, talking, writing about data. So I have 20 slides in 20 minutes, so hopefully we'll stick to time, but I do have a bonus slide if we need it for discussions later. If I told you about everything we're doing with data, we'd be here all day. So what I'm focusing on today is every publisher's favorite topic, copyright and licensing after lunch. So I'll be trying to make it interesting and as sexy as possible. So I'm going to disagree with what Paul said earlier. It's not tangential. There's lots of data in open access journals already from a variety of different sources. Additional files, supplementary material, can have data in it, bibliographic data, so individual article metadata and reference lists certainly are data, numerical tables, the points underlying graphs, and of course we hear an awful lot about text mining, so we're all publishing data, I would argue. I'm not going to say too much about text mining, because I'm sure Joe will discuss that as well, but the point is that licensing of content appropriately and clearly and unambiguously is absolutely important to make the most of data within the published literature. So for data, why does open licensing matter? Well, what we're really trying to achieve is better science, and open data is a way to do that. And legal requirements for attribution are barriers to doing science more efficiently, so that's why, as far as data is concerned, having clear and ambiguous licensing is really important. And Biomed Central, a couple of years ago now, stated support that for data, there should be no barriers to data integration reuse. And there's lots of other organisations, important papers in Nature and JAMA, that are supporting public domain for data, so where there's no rights, so all rights are waived, no legal requirement for attribution. So just to revisit a bit of publishing 101, copyright and data. So generally, data are facts, they're numerical representations of a fact, so they're not copyrightable, usually. But the problem is, particularly in digital, there's lots of different levels of which data can exist, be combined, so it all gets a bit messy. It's very messy, in fact. And there's jurisdictional differences as well. So in the US, the focus is on creativity. Copyright protects ideas, whereas in Australia, it's about originality. So data, original data, could be copyrightable. All this just leads to an ambiguous sort of mess about whether or not stuff that a computer or a human gets from the internet is copyrightable or not. So we need to address this problem. And we've heard a lot about CC0 already, which is a waiver rather than a license, so it's a way of giving up your rights rather than asserting them, which a license does. And there are a number of different licenses and waivers that are compliant with these open data principles where you waive all of your rights, where there's no legal requirements for attribution. And CC0 is the one that seems to be the most widely recognized. A key reason why this is really important for data where you don't have any of these legal requirements for attribution is because when you're combining data from a large amount of sources, hundreds, thousands of different sources, and you have this legal requirement to track back, then that can lead to quite prohibitive problems. So if you imagined a postdoc researcher querying the Human Genome Database, hundreds, probably thousands of people contributing data to that, then writing up their paper and trying to publish their paper with all these thousands of link backs and references, us as publishers and that author is going to have a problem. For lots more information on all the different licenses for data that are out there, definitely read Alex Ball, Digital Curation Center's guide on the website there. So why is Creative Commons CC0 so good for data? These aren't my words. They're paraphrased from Peggy Schaefer, who's at the Dryad repository. The full information's on the blog. So quite cogent region. So CC0, it's human and machine readable, so it's interoperable, much like the other legal tools the Creative Commons produce. It's universal, so it can it can straddle all these different legal domains and is also widely recognized. And it's also simple. So if you remove this barrier of copyright, please, Professor Famous, can I have your data set so I can do something with it? Again, these are all barriers and inefficiencies. So it enables scientists to do more time doing science. So there are lots of use cases of CC0. For example, repositories I've mentioned are using it a lot, so the Dryad repository, Figshare, Giga Sciences Giga database, which Scott will tell you an awful lot about, is using CC0. GlaxoSmithKline released 13,500 malaria active compounds, data on compounds active against malaria under CC0 two or three years ago. And just to digress slightly, another use case is an electronic lab notebook called Lab Archives, which Biomed Central has a partnership with. They also have the option for people who use this lab notebook, which is a bit like Dropbox for scientists, helps you manage and store your files, but also enables you to publish certain data sets permanently online and assign a DOI to them under the CC0 waiver. And the arrangement that we have with them is that Biomed Central authors get additional free storage compared to the standard edition, which is 100 megabytes, which is understandably not huge, but it's quite a lot bigger than most additional files that publishers will accept. It looks a bit like this, the Biomed Central edition of the software, a couple of other features. You can click straight through to the journal submission system. There are embedded manuscript templates for preparing a paper as well. So it's, I guess, an example. A little bit of the sorts of things that Philip Bourne talks about is trying to make the whole workflow of science a bit more connected, so doing the science and communicating are a bit more joined up. Anyway, back to changing our license, possibly, in journals. Well, how could we, or why should we, implement Creative Commons CC0 for data, specifically published in open access journals? There's lots of information now out there on the web, in particular a paper which Matt Cochler and I wrote and went into BMC Research Notes about 10 days ago. But this was the result of many discussions with a number of other publishers who are here, including PLOS and Nature, who I don't think are. So we had a series of workshop meetings and discussed a number of issues and decided we need to have some comprehensive information on the implications of implementing this open data license for data published in journals and how we might do it, importantly, as well. So, lots of good reasons to do it. It removes this ambiguity of the legal status of particular types of content. So, there are these additional data files in the journal. If it ever went to court, you could argue, well, it's not copyrightable, so I don't need to attribute you. But if you make that clear from the start, then hopefully you avoid those sorts of problems. We all know there are many benefits, or hopefully we all know there are many benefits of text mining, so I'll not go into that in detail. And there's lots of potential we're hearing in open bibliography for development of novel tools for measuring the impact of articles, citation networks. And also, it should be good for science. Daniel, who's in the room, gave me a great example where in his area of research, evolutionary MRI scans, the availability of data sets which can be combined, because there's no legal requirements to attribute or no legal barriers, there aren't enough of them, and they're not making nearly fast enough progress in that area of research. So it would be good as publishers to do something nice for science, because making things more efficient was kind of part of what open access was about as well. So how to implement a new license? Well, on one hand, it's very simple. You just change the license, set a date, everyone who submits, you have to agree that your paper, the text within it, is still under an attribution license, and any data you send to us is public domain under CC0. You have to think about how you encode those different licenses in your XML, in your RDF, if you use it. But on the other hand, it's quite difficult, because we saw yesterday some really great results from a survey about what authors think about licensing, albeit in books, but yet some people may well be very conservative about the terms they want to make available their data to the wider public. So that's why we have initiated a public consultation asking a number of key questions from authors, from editors, from publishers, about what they think about implementing more liberal licensing for data that they already send to journals. Practically speaking, this is something that we've put forward in the paper that I've mentioned. So this is an extension, an additional sentence in the standard sort of licensing statement you see in a lot of open access articles with a link to the Creative Commons license. You could add a further sentence there just to say, data that you publish in this article is available under CC0. So far so simple, but what do you mean by data? I've mentioned you can get data in additional files, you can get it in reference lists, but when you start drilling down, it can get a little bit less clear. And also there's very many different definitions of data. If you look on Wikipedia, you get one definition. If you look at UK statute, you get a different definition. And we've certainly come up with a few. We would really like to hear more from anyone. So examples that are relatively obvious, so tabular data, CSV files, XML, RDF, definitely things that you could say, yeah, that's data, a particular license or waiver should apply to that. But there's probably many more that we haven't identified yet. Another way of implementing a new license is to give people the option to opt out of it. You know, public domain for data is a great idea, maximum reuse, very efficient, etc. But it's not always universally possible. So you need the option to offer non-standard license for people who just can't do it, perhaps because there is a requirement of their funder. But then again, we already do this as publishers. So US government employees quite often already have a CC0 for everything that they publish. Certain funders, the World Health Organization, can't apply CC BY licenses. So you could also argue that while it's a change in behavior, it's not actually a very large change in behavior because we're already having to, or authors are already having to check that the standard license offered by the publisher is right for them and is appropriate, and then request something different if it's not. I don't know how I'm doing for time. So what we've also tried to identify as part of this consultation is to try and preempt frequently asked questions, concerns, and also come up with arguments against them. And these are the most common ones, certainly anecdotally, that I've come across. Will I risk loss of credit, i.e. citations, if there's no legal requirement for attribution? Will I put competitors as an advantage if I make my data that I already publish available without a legal requirement for attribution? Will I be more likely to be plagiarized? Will I lose any right to express any wishes at all about how people use my data? The short answer to all these questions is no. And very happy to continue conversations about them in the debate that follows. And this last slide, excluding the one with my email address and the bonus slide, is these are the questions that we've put on the Biomed Central blog about 10 days ago. And these are the things we're really interested to hear from everyone about. So how appropriate is public domain for content you publish in journals? How do you define data? And how might removing legal restrictions, given all these benefits that we've mentioned and improbable threats, how might it benefit or harm your research? An additional question for publishers here and globally is how adoptable is this model as far as you're concerned? So that was it for standard slides. Sorry? I can do the bonus slide. Okay. So, top question here, will I risk loss of credit citations if you don't have a CC BY license? Because as we all know, you can do pretty much whatever you like with CC BY content, you just have to provide a link back, which is also achieved by citing a paper. But the problem is that citation is a cultural thing that academics do to give one another credit for their ideas, whereas attribution is a legal requirement ingrained in copyright. So while you can achieve both sometimes in the same way, they're actually quite different things. So this table is just to give a few illustrative examples of the differences. So if you reprint a CC BY paper and display it at a conference, that's an attribution thing. You've made a copy. If you translate the article for publishing it in another journal, again, that's an attribution thing because you're making a copy. But the ethical policies of most journals would require that if you prepare a translation, then you have to cite the original source as well. So that's a combined thing. And then, of course, a very common traditional family thing of science. If you paraphrase someone's idea in your paper, then you have to cite them. But then there's also a much more flexible than a law, much more flexible cultural norm at work, in that after some time, you don't have to keep citing ideas. So if I'm writing a paper where I am doing an experiment looking at DNA, I don't have to cite Watson and Crick's paper because everyone knows that, that's an undisputed fact in science and they've got plenty of credit for it, including prizes and things named after them. So I don't need to cite them anymore, right? And then reusing a figure in table and graph, I'd say that's a combined thing because you're producing a copy, but then if you're reproducing someone's data, then that's definitely a citation exercise. And the final one, for people who, say, publish the data set supporting a clinical trial in a journal, which very occasionally happens, it has happened, if I wanted to reanalyze that data, do a systematic review, I wouldn't legally need to attribute them if it was public domain, but if any peer reviewer or editor receives a systematic review or meta-analysis that does not cite where it gets its data from, then they're not going to accept it, or I very much hope they wouldn't. So again, that would be a cultural citation norm, ensuring that people get credit for their work. This is just one of the main concerns that we come across, and I think there's a few good examples as to why attribution and citation are just quite different.